Our reading is taken from Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Tina. So, Paula, would you like to come up? I thought it'd be nice, before Paula speaks to us, I was just going to ask her a couple of questions. Paula and I went out for coffee on Friday, and I basically got her whole life story, didn't I? I got you to start right at the beginning, and we shared some lovely lemon drizzle cake and a cup of tea. And I heard all about what God's been doing in and through you and those around you. But do you want to just start by sharing with us how your connection to St Andrews began?
Okay, so it's been at least 10 years, maybe 15 years. Not sure exactly, but Francis came to hear me speak at Life Destiny Church.
Yep.
Invited me to come and speak here, and I met Tina and Ian, and we just became friends, and mm-hmm. you guys started praying for me, supporting me, collecting creativity things for children. The children collected them, and many, many times you sent boxes of materials. I was living in Russia for 20 years, and we had a trauma counselling centre, which then became a healing centre. And the children coming from the war in Chechnya, children coming from Beslan, would be using the creative materials that you'd sent, your children here had sent to us. So it was a wonderful connection and wonderful to be in touch. And I know you've been praying for me regularly, and I so appreciate your prayers and your support. So we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing without. We need one another, don't we?
We do. So that connection's gone back quite a way. When was the last time you were here? Because it's before, obviously, before my time.
Was it 5 years ago?
About 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
We left Russia 5 years ago, and then we moved to Gran Canaria, and we were pioneering a work there, so I didn't have much time to leave it at the time, because we had ex-drug addicts, refugees, people living in our home, and not many team members, so I couldn't leave. But then the Lord told us to close the house down and to spend more time focusing on prayer. So we're doing that, so I've got a bit more time now to come and visit people, which is lovely to be here. So.
Well, I'll pray for you, and then you can share whatever God's laid on your heart to share with us. I'm excited to hear that. Lord, we thank you for Paula. We thank you for the connections that she has here at St Andrews and here in Harrogate. And we pray, Lord, for her as she speaks this morning, that you would, through your Holy Spirit, speak into our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you do that, the way that you use us in connecting with other people. So come, Lord. Come, Lord. And may you give Paula the words that you have for her to impart to us this morning. And may it go beyond simply us hearing them, but may we take them into our hearts so that we're changed by them. And we know that only you can do that, Lord. So we ask that you would do that this morning through Paula. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Jesus, that you are here. And we do want to just tell you we love you. Again this morning, we honour you, Jesus. You are beautiful, you are kind, you are loving. And we're just so grateful to you that you chose to come to this earth, Lord, to die for us, that we might know you, Jesus. And I just bless each one of us to be able to receive what you have for us this morning, Lord. We want to get to know you better, Lord. We want to know your heart, Lord. We want to see the smile on your face, the look of love in your eyes towards each one of us, Lord. And that as we gaze upon your beauty, upon your face, shining like the sun in all its brilliance, that would reflect into the lives of those around us, Lord. And that many others would come to see how loving and kind and how beautiful you are, Jesus. And that you would use us to transform and transform the world around us, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of knowing you, Jesus. And thank you for all these lovely people in this church, Lord. And I want to bless them, Lord, to be able to know you in a deeper way than ever before, Lord. To be able to reflect your beauty and your glory. And to spread that to all those around them. Thank you, Lord. We welcome you, Jesus, in this place, in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So everything that's been happening this morning, the songs and your lovely prayer, and it's all what God is trying to say, and it's amazing. I've come from a different place. I didn't know what the reading was going to be this morning either, and it's all what God is trying to say. So I really felt that he wanted to speak about bearing fruit, and in the reading it was bear fruit according to repentance, and about how the more we have of him, the more we know his heart, the more we can gaze upon his beauty, the more we're going to be able to bear fruit, because that repentance comes when we realise that we can't do it in our own strength. Who here has tried to do things in their own strength? Who here has tried really, really, really hard and spent many hours trying and trying and trying, and we haven't borne much fruit? Maybe a grape, maybe a withered grape, maybe a little bit of fruit. But who here would like to see more fruit? Who would like to bear fruit, as Jesus said, as John the Baptist said, bear fruit? We're here to be fruitful, aren't we? And when we bear fruit, we have joy and we realise this is the reason we're on this earth. Jesus has saved us and transformed us, that we can bear fruit, that we can fulfil the destiny that he has for us. And who here would love to fulfil the destiny that Jesus has for them? When we get to heaven, we hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the reward that he has for us. And he really wants to give us all that we need to fulfil that destiny. And it's about spending time in his presence, isn't it? And just gazing upon his beauty. And this morning as we were praying, I really felt, I had something else to share, but then I really felt the Lord was saying to start here. And it's Matthew 21, and it's verse 9. It's words that we know very well. When Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, the people shouted out, Hosanna to the Son of David. And in the Hebrew, the Hosanna, it basically is Hoshieni, and it means, save me, God. And it's what Jonah, when he was in the belly of the whale, before that, when he was in the sea, he shouted out, Hosanna, Hoshieni, save me, God. And who has ever been in that desperate situation where you know that if God doesn't come through for you, you're a goner? Who's been in that situation? I think we all have. Hoshieni, save me, God. And when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, the crowds were shouting out, Hosanna, Hoshieni. They were saying, Jesus, you are God. We realize that you are God, and we want you to save us. They were acknowledging, all those crowds of people were acknowledging that he was God. No wonder the Pharisees and the Sadducees wanted to kill him, because the whole crowds are saying, Jesus, you are God. And then they said, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in Hebrew at that time, that would be Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Some of you may know the song. That's a song saying, blessed is he. But actually, in Hebrew, it meant, we welcome you. Baruch haba. People would say, if they knocked on the door and they'd say who it was, and you'd say, Baruch haba, come in, you're welcome. Baruch haba, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And what the Lord is looking for in each one of us is a heart that says, yes, Jesus, without you I can do nothing. Jesus said he is the vine. Our Father is the vine. We are the branches, and without him we can do nothing. And we often think we can do something, and we're trying and trying and trying and striving and striving, and I've done it myself so many times to try and produce fruit. But he wants us to say, save me, God. I welcome you into my life. I can't do it without you. I could try and try and try. And until you come, I'm not going to see the fruit that I want to see. And he's making me more desperate to really see his presence coming. And I know that he's doing it in people all over the world. Who is hungry and thirsty to see more of him? Jesus, we want to see you, more of you. And we do say, Hosanna, Hosheini, Hosanna, we welcome you into our lives. We want to see that fruit, to bear fruit, as the Lord has asked us to do. And when I was in Chechnya, and we were working with the children from Beslan, and we were all absolutely exhausted. We were working day and night. We had refugees. We had really traumatized children. Who's worked with traumatized people? Worked with refugees, you know, you can get absolutely exhausted. And we were trying. We were trying to serve the Lord. We were trying with the best of our ability. And we were bearing a bit of fruit, but the Lord spoke very clearly to me, and he said, you need to stop what you're doing and put my presence and prayer in the center of everything. And I thought, how can we do that, Lord? We've got so many needs, so much desperation. But we stopped. The Lord gave me a book about 24/7 prayer by Pete Gregg, and we started to do 24/7 prayer. And prayer and his presence became the key focus. And after that, we saw his presence moving in ways that I could only have dreamt of seeing. We had Muslim refugees come in. I was showing the stories yesterday with Phil, and the Lord's reminding me of them again now. We had Muslim refugees who came to our centre. They had never, ever left Chechnya before. Never been to a Christian meeting, never seen anything, Christians doing anything. They came into the introductory meeting. We were explaining about what was going to happen. But the presence of the Lord was so strong in that room that one of the ladies and her two-year-old daughter ended up on the floor in God's presence. The Holy Spirit touched them so strongly. And they were Muslims. They'd never been to a Christian meeting. They never knew that God could touch you or anything. They were just on the floor. And then towards the end of the week, when I shared the gospel and said, would anybody like to accept Jesus? We didn't do it openly because they were all Muslims and it could be dangerous. So I said, just we're going to pray this prayer if you want to pray it. And this woman that had been on the floor, her husband, prayed the prayer along with everybody else quietly in their hearts who was praying. And afterwards, his face lit up and he said, I've never felt so much peace in my life. He had a stutter because he'd been in a massacre where they'd shot everybody and he'd been under all the bodies and he survived. And he had a stutter after that. And after he asked Jesus into his life, the stutter left. And in the presence of God, he was healed. Another man who was on our team had a car accident and his brains were on the road and he died. He died for a few minutes, but he somehow came back. They scraped his brains up. He opened his eyes and they took him to the hospital. And he was in a coma for many, many weeks. And we said, and his wife was pregnant with their first child. And we said, we're going to fight for his life. And we went into the hospital. We declared life over him. We prayed for him. 6 weeks later, he came round. He was not very with it at all. He couldn't really talk or anything. And we took him back to our centre where we were doing 3 months of 24/7 prayer. And every morning, some of our lads from our team carried him into the prayer room. And after a month, he was walking into the prayer room himself. And they now have 4 children. So that was her first baby, and they've now got 4 children. And it was the presence of God. The presence of God in the prayer room. Because we were so hungry and we were seeking him. And even now in Gran Canaria, Gran Canaria, the Lord has been pruning us and saying, will you seek my presence? We had a house, we had lots of people, we had a team, and the Lord has gradually taken away the team, he's taken away the house, and he's saying again, what do you want? Do you want to bear the fruit that I have for you, or do you want to just do lots of good things that bear a little bit of fruit? And it's a difficult season when you don't know what's going on and God is pruning you. And you want to see the fruit, but you're not seeing it. But it's a time to say, yes, Lord, I want to seek your presence. I welcome you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. What of the word nothing do we often not understand? We think we can do this, we can do that. We run around trying to do things, trying to please him and trying to help other people and trying to share the gospel. And it's often all good things we're doing. But without him,
we can do nothing. And he's saying, are you hungry enough? As you were praying, Lord, fill us, that we could go out, as we were singing, weren't we? Because if we're not filled, we've got nothing to give. And we get so easily distracted, don't we, by the things of the world. We get so easily distracted just by life, by doing church, by doing other things. And the Lord is giving us all a call to deeper intimacy. Are we willing to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We welcome you, Jesus. We can't do it without you. We can't do it without you. We need much more of you in our lives. And as we spend time in his presence, he gives us his heart for the poor and for the broken and for the lost. We were in Gran Canaria 2 years ago in our house having our little church. We'd planted a church in our home and we were eating together. And the Lord, we were just waiting on the Lord and asking him what he wanted us to do. And one of the people in the church felt we need to go to a poor estate, which we'd just found the day before, and share our food with them. We had so much food, we were expecting more people, and we had loads and loads of food. So we went down to the estate where we'd already done a prayer walk, and we just knocked on all the doors and said, we want to have a community barbecue, we'd like to invite you all to come. And some of the people were angry when you knock on doors, go away. Some of the people were open, and I knocked on one door, and a girl came out who was in her early 20s, and she has a little 2-year-old daughter. And I said to her, we're just neighbours, and we just felt we wanted to come and show our food with you. We're having a community barbecue. We'd like to invite you to come. And her tears came into her eyes, and she said, it's my daughter's second birthday today, and we had no food. And thank you so much. And I said, it was Jesus. He knew that it was her birthday. I said, this is why we're doing this party. So then we knocked on everybody's doors and said, we're having a party for Maria Jesus. And lots of people came and we shared God's love with them. We shared our food with them. We prayed for Maria Jesus. She hadn't slept through the night for the whole 2 years. And she slept through the night for the first time. Then her mother was baptized a few months later. And we had the privilege of baptizing her grandmother on Easter Sunday, 2 weeks ago, was it? And her grandmother had broken her hip. It's now 2.5 years ago. And they have been waiting for her to have an operation or to have some help. And the Spanish government is very, very slow with everything. She still hasn't had the operation. She's got no pension. They've got hardly any food. Her two sons haven't got jobs. The economy is really bad. So they've had hardly any food or hardly... They've been pretty desperate. But when Maria Jesus got baptized 2 weeks ago, she said to me, she came out of the water just absolutely smiling, didn't she? We've been praying for healing for her leg, for her hip, and she started walking without a crutch, and she's in only a little bit of pain now. She's like almost completely healed. And her two sons both got a job just after Easter, and we went to see her a few days after she'd been baptized, and she was beaming, and she said, I knew everything would change when I got baptized, and her life has been transformed. But it was as we were waiting on God in our church service, say, Lord, where do you want us to go? He filled us, and then he showed us where to go. And there were people there who were waiting, who are now bearing fruit. It's so key to be able to spend time in his presence, listen to what he wants, let him fill us, and then go out to those that are waiting, to those that are hungry, to those that are ready. Easter week we were doing a mission, and we also were praying, where do we go, Lord? We felt to go to the highest mountain on the island and to pray and to do some declarations there. And as we were up there on the highest mountain, there was lots of tourists coming and going. And so we were shouting, Jesus is alive, we're just blessing the island and things. And some of these boys were quite interested in what we were doing. And they were from Cuba. They were tourists from Cuba. And they had been given a Bible and were reading it and were full of questions. We had a really good time talking. Some of the team, I wasn't actually talking to them, but some of the team were talking to them, had an amazing time. And then the next day we were praying, where do we go? And the Lord showed us to go to Las Palmas, the capital. So we were walking in Las Palmas, just worshipping, songs about Jesus being alive, and just sharing with people. And there was a homeless lady on the floor who was crying. And I just went over to her and started talking to her and see if she was hungry. And I bought her some sandwiches and a coffee and was just talking to her, praying with her. And as I was there, these Cuban lads walked past us. It was like a completely different part of the island, and they walked past us again. And again, my team members had a really, really long, deep conversation with them. Their parents were there this time. So God had sent us to those places not just to do the decorations, but for those lads. Can you imagine they came all the way from Cuba to Gran Canaria to bump into us twice? And it's like, as we spend time in his presence and we listen to what he's telling us to do, he will then send us to those places where there are people who are waiting and ready, and we will bear fruit. So I encourage you, whatever it is that's causing distraction, causing you to not be able to spend time in his presence, this is a good time with your week of 9 days of prayer to really lay aside those things, because life goes past so quickly, and if we don't make spending time with him our priority, we're not going to bear the fruit that Jesus wants us to bear. And when we get to heaven, we want to hear those words, don't we? We don't want to hear the words, oh, you missed this, you missed that, because you were too busy. And there are people waiting. Like, if we hadn't gone down to that estate where Maria Jesus was, maybe they would still be living in terrible poverty without knowing Jesus. Maybe God would have sent somebody else. But he was waiting to tell us, and we were listening. Many times I miss opportunities too. I'm speaking to myself just as much as everybody else. We need to be hungry for him, don't we? We need to have such a desire for him more than anything else. So I want to bless you with that hunger to really seek him, to really hear what he's saying, and the courage to go and be obedient to what he has called us to do. So I want to sing that song, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Baruch Haba. Do you guys know that song in Hebrew? Oh, okay. Well, I will sing it then. You might recognize it from, but it's basically saying, in our hearts as I sing it, I want us to say, those of you that want to, I welcome you, Jesus. I want you, Jesus. I need you. Give me more of a hunger for you. I can't do it without you. Apart from you, I have nothing. And I want to bear fruit, keeping with repentance. I want to bear that fruit. So I welcome you. So if you want to welcome him again into your heart. We were singing the song too, weren't we? You are the one I've been waiting for. He's the one we've been waiting for. And he wants us to have the fullness of everything that we've been waiting for. And to bear that fruit. So I will sing the song. And as I do, let's just open our hearts and say we welcome you. King of glory, we want to fulfill the destiny you have for us. We want to see you reflecting your image through us, that many, many people's lives will be transformed. Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba Hashem Adonai, hallelujah. Baruch haba, Hashem Adonai, Baruch haba, Hashem Adonai. Jesus, we're hungry, we're thirsty. Make us more hungry and thirsty, Jesus. And we welcome you into every area of our lives. We need you. We can't do this without you, Lord. Without you, apart from you, we can do nothing. We want to bear fruit, Jesus. Would you help each one of us to lay aside the distractions, to lay aside the things that are hindering us from being intimate with you, is from spending time in your presence. That we may really be so full of you, so full of your joy and your peace and your love, that others are attracted to us, Lord. And that we may see our neighbours, our friends, and those, our family members, and those around us, transformed and coming into your kingdom, Lord Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We're so, so thrilled to know you, Jesus, and we so long for others to know you and to see a reflection of you upon our faces, Lord. May we be like Moses, gazing upon your beauty, and other people will say, we want what you've got. Transform us into your image, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.